tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flood!
King of Crash!
The Colossus of Cloud! The Colossus of Cloud!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery. And Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions or comments about your valuable collectibles. You can give us a call at 312-332-3776. Tell us what you have. It can be sports, pop culture, political, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what we think your item might sell for in a current auction. You can also tweet me a picture of an item at TCrownTom is my Twitter ID. If we use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing. This week, we've got a nice prize we're giving away. It's a box of 2015 Bowman football for Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, everybody out there. Bowman football has four autographs per box, including guys like Mariota, Jameis Winston, Melvin Gordon, Kevin White, Amari Cooper.
And many more.
Many more. Yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
Yes, yes. In fact, I think I hit a Winston yesterday in Ottawa to that product.
Oh, so. Very nice. Yep. It's a cool product to me. If you really would rather have an item where they're in their pro jersey, well, then you don't have to keep these. You can sell them right away. They get really good value.
That's right. Yep.
But I think if you really like a guy, like let's say I really like Kevin White for the Bears, well, it's not a bad idea to keep one in his college jersey, remember who he's with, or at least just a college, you know, type signature, and then get one where he's in his pro jersey also.
Absolutely.
And then Huggins and Scott Auctions. Bill Huggins, you've got the August auction coming up that you're taking in items right now for, where you'll be at the National Sports Collectors Convention in Rosemont during that auction, correct, Bill?
Yes, this is our Josh calls it the event of the year. It's, you know, our August auction where the stuff is actually live and available for bidding while we're at the show. So we've got, probably another 2 or 3 weeks to gather stuff in. If our listeners have any stuff, they could certainly contact us. We'd be happy to include some of their items in this auction. Right now, I'm actually in Raleigh, North Carolina at Wes Starkey's Inside Pitch show. So we've got a bunch of people that came and saw us yesterday and some more people who are coming today. So if anybody's listening in the Raleigh area and wants to come by, we'll certainly be there most of the rest of the day.
Is there a Barney Fife statue in Raleigh, North Carolina, Bill? Have you seen?
I'll tell you what, Tom, there's this guy walking around yesterday. He had the greatest T-shirt. In a picture of Barney Fife with the words, nip it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was the coolest T-shirt.
Very cool.
That was a classic show. That still holds up if you see it once in a while. Yeah. Otis checking himself into the cell and Barney and Ange and the boys. That was a good comedy.
Gotta go down in history as the most funny guy, funny character in any TV sitcom or show of all time.
Barney Fife. Yeah, amazing. That really was classic. He was great with that. He did some movies after that weren't maybe as good.
Yeah,
was on a couple other shows, but yeah, that he was classic with that particular character. Now, actually, speaking of that, I guess that would be a good autograph if you had a Don. So there are guys that like to get cast member autographs. The Pop Century from Leaf has turned out to be a popular product because they'll have a lot of that stuff. But I don't know if I've ever seen Don Knotts, an autographed card of him in his Barney Fife
I don't either. A couple of Andy Griffiths have been in the pop century. I haven't seen Barney Fife.
No, that's something I'm gonna keep an eye out for. The number here is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call. We're giving away a 2015 Bowman football box, 4 autographs per box. We got a tweet from Todd here, who has a picture. He says, "Happy Father's Day, T Crown Tom. I got some 1979 Topps wax packs. Keep them or open them." Oh, that to me, you absolutely do not open 1979 Topps packs. You got to keep those.
If they were right in front of my face, I don't know if I could withstand temptation to open up a couple. You know,
I'm not saying I could keep them sealed, but if you're smart, you would keep those sealed.
There you go.
Right, Bill? Don't you think anything 70s and older in unopened packs, it's hard to justify the value of what you could get out of the packs compared to what the sealed packs can go for.
Well, if he's got a full box, that's one thing. If he's got a handful of packs, that's sort of different. I almost open the packs if you had 5 or 6 or 8 packs. If you have a full box, that's different.
Don't do it, Bill. I think, they grade packs, right? I know GAI used to, and they're not around anymore, but don't some of the other companies grade packs?
Yeah.
I think that's what I would do myself. I don't think you can open them.
Too much temptation. I would open them up in a second.
Yeah, I know. And I probably would. I don't have a lot of unopened stuff later on. But that's probably on the borderline too. But look how the mid 70s have caught up with the unopened stuff. Now you're right. For sure that the unopened boxes are huge, but I think graded packs, I think if you got 79 Topps wax packs graded and you put them individually on eBay, I think they'd go for some nice bucks.
Yeah, well, there's a big break between 77 and up and 76 and down as far as packs go. You know, or actually probably more 78 and up. That's just when there's tons of it out there. 77 and back, it's so much harder to find. I don't think Vince could leave them sitting in front of him without opening.
That's for sure.
Yeah, we know that. I don't think any one of us could. But we're trying to give people advice here.
That's right. But that's the fun of collecting. It's the excitement of opening it up and who you might find and the memories it brings back.
And that's also why the unopened packs go for so much money, because guys like us can't leave them unopened. We got to see what's in there.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Okay, now, this is kind of an interesting thing here. I don't know if you listeners out there have been following what looks like the British Open, but is actually the U.S. Open. The mailman stops by T-Crown. I had it on Friday, and he goes, "Are they playing the British Open already?" It's one of those, what is it, a Lynx course, they call it. But the 4 people tied for first now, to me, if either Jason Day or Jordan Spieth wins, that's a great story. You got Spieth winning the first 2, and Jason Day at the end of the second round passed out right off the 18th green and then got back up. I think he ended up par in the hole. They weren't even sure he was going to be able to play yesterday. He must have shot a 2-under par yesterday, because the 4 of them in the lead, I think, are all at -4. So what a great story. And then the secondary story to this. You don't have, we know where
the
I'm going with this.
Behind the story. Yes, I know where you're going.
Listen to this, Bill. Now, Jason Day for the Masters. Vince and I are in fantasy golf, which you've heard me whining about on other weeks. I don't know why I even got into it, but that's another story. Well, at the Masters on Thursday night, you have till noon on Friday to make your picks. And Thursday night, Spieth was my pick for the Masters. Friday morning, I decided to change to Jason Day, okay? So basically, I went from being kind of in the running to towards the bottom of the pack after that.
And I took Spieth in the Masters. And
Vince took
Spieth,
and he got first, and you get time and a half. The way it works, you can pick one guy per season in one tournament, and that's it. And you get whatever that guy wins money-wise, whatever his purse is, that's what you get. You add your purse for the year, and you get time and a half in a Masters. So Jason Day ended up, I don't know, maybe he finished 10th or 15th. I don't even know where he was. He won a couple hundred thousand. But Spieth, with the time and a half, it was like $2.7 million or something. So that little switcheroo there cost me $2.4 million
and put me in the top
for $10,
10. Yes.
And Vince went right up there then, and he's stayed there. So now, of course, Vince has Jason Day in this yes. major. I have Spieth,
and Vince
is probably going to win again. that's the way I'm looking at it. But I wouldn't mind that. The guy that I don't want to win in this is Dustin Johnson because yep. I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of guys really picked him. Yep. But I think it's a great story if
Absolutely.
Either of these other guys win too.
Yes.
And then the fourth guy in this, Brandon Grace, I had never heard of this guy. But I guess he's a really good golfer, I think, from South Africa.
He's won already a few events in Europe, and so...
Yeah, he's only been in 7 tournaments in the U.S., and he's got 2 top 10s. So this guy's a legitimate golfer. I mean, wouldn't that be something if he, with these 3, who are now big-name young golfers, if those 3... got beat by Brandon Grace, and everybody would be like, who? But actually, it turns out he's a legitimate golfer.
Did you ever think, Tom, you'd spend this much time on your show actually talking about golf?
No, I didn't. I've got more, too.
Yes, that's good.
I've got
that's
more.
Good.
I can talk. You know, and Upper Deck, it does golf. With all these good young golfers, Tiger is a mental case. You know, get these guys. They've already done autographs for Rory. They got to get some of these guys, Jason Day, Dustin... Well, they've done some with Dustin Johnson, but I don't think there's been anything of Spieth. A lot of these young guys, Patrick Reed's up there on the list, Ricky Fowler, those guys, get their autographs in to get another set out there. Yep. The people will be spending money for this stuff. Spieth stuff, yep. Can you imagine if they had a piece of a game-worn golf glove and an autograph, low-numbered Spieth? That would go for some... big money.
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen any memorabilia or autographs, Bill, of Spieth even in the marketplace? Or has anybody brought anything into you for him?
Not yet. No, I haven't seen anything from him yet.
No, and boy, he looks like he's like the U.S. golfer of the future right now.
Now, Upper Deck has the exclusive rights for golf, is that correct? Pretty much.
I don't know how they work it, but they're the only one that's been doing golf the last few years. They don't do something every year, though. That SP Game Use golf product's a good product.
Absolutely.
They had it last year, but Spieth and Spieth wasn't in it. Now, Tiger, I saw Gary Player interviewed, I think, on the Golf Channel before I opened yesterday. It was early in the morning yesterday. And in addition to saying this is the worst golf course he's ever seen.
In his 60-something years of playing
that
golf, the absolute worst.
Yeah, he's like, how could you even get an amateur on this course? Where half, you know, there's so many spots on the course where if you don't land in an exact spot, you're dead on that hole. So anyway, but he also, I thought it was interesting. He said, would you have any advice for Tiger? And he said, actually, I think I could fix Tiger if he listened to me for body and mind. He thinks he could. He would have to do like a complete makeover for Tiger, but he thinks he could still win from him. And I believe, you know, when I'm listening to Gary Player, this guy must, I don't, maybe he's a really good salesman, but I was believing, I'm thinking Tiger... get in contact with Gary Player.
And he said he could do it like in less than an hour. So, you know, Tiger's tried all these other things.
Right.
At least give it a shot.
Come on,
you know?
Give it a shot.
Yep.
But then if Gary Player had said the earth is flat, I think I might have believed that also because I was just buying everything he was saying. So Bill Huggins at HugginsandScott.com now. if people want to send something in, they can still get things. Even if something needs to be authenticated for an auction or graded, it's still time to get into your August auction. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. We've got, that window's a little bit narrower than if it doesn't need to be. But, yeah, I think Ricky and Ryan are going up one more time, not this coming week, but next week, the week of the 29th, for sort of our last visit to JSA to get stuff authenticated for autographs. And then they usually work with us, SGC and PSA, as far as the turnaround time on grading cards. So
as you're getting closer,
yep, we still got time.
So as you're getting closer, they'll work with you, get it a little faster. But
they can also bring it into T-Crown, and you can get it to us.
Yeah, that's right. A guy through Twitter actually sent me pictures of this one baseball that was signed by Mel Ott, who put Melvin Ott on it, and who else was on there? Hornsby was on there. It was kind of a random group of guys, but it looked like it was dated 1927. I think in the old days, a lot of times guys would bring one ball with them anytime they went to a baseball game, and then if they were ever going to see somebody that they wanted to get to sign it, they would have them sign that ball. So it's not all from one team, but all from that era. It's still pretty neat baseball. So he was thinking of putting that in. That type of stuff is neat. It has to be authenticated. But if you're auctioning with Huggins and Scott, Huggins and Scott has actually a really good authentication fee that you wouldn't be able to get on your own as long as you are auctioning it with them. Correct, Bill?
Yep. JSA really works with our consigners to help them out, provided they realize that if it does authenticate, it has to go in the auction.
Yes, and if it doesn't authenticate, then you send it back to them with a with a sad note and sorry, but we can't do it for you. All right, well, it's time for a short break here now. The number is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, and we're giving away a 2015 Bowman football box with four autographs to one caller or tweeter. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, and one caller or tweeter, if you tweet me a picture of an item at TCrownTom and we use it on the show, we'll win a box of 2015 Bowman football. Vince will do the drawing at the end of the show, and ERC Delivery will deliver free of charge to the winner's door. You just will have to email Vince at ercdelivery.com if you win. Now, I tweeted earlier in the week. Last week, I was talking about some of the young baseball players that were getting called up. And we're starting to play. You had Schwarber for the Cubs, Francisco Lindor for the Indians, Carlos Correa for the Astros, and Byron Buxton for the Twins. They all got called up the last couple of weeks and have all been doing something. And Correa and Schwarber by far are off to the best starts. Correa in 12 games is hitting .314. He already has 3 homers, 7 RBIs, a .908 OPS, and 4 steals for fantasy. That's awesome for a shortstop.
Amazing talent.
And he's only 20 years old. This guy looks, he really looks like something. Well, I saw about a month ago, we had the guy in charge of authentication from MLB was on the show as a guest and explained how they did things for authentication. So I happened to notice that I thought I'm going to look at a couple of the teams that these players are on, see if they're auctioning anything. Well, Bill, they were auctioning Carlos Correa's, the game-worn jersey he wore for the Astros, the game that he hit his first major league homer. And I tweeted it a few days ago, and I think at the time it was at like $5,000 or $6,000. I'm like, wow, that thing's doing great. And so I thought, okay, when it's done, I'll tweet it again and see how it does. Did I tell you what this thing ended up going for?
No.
Bill, you won't believe this. It went for, I mean, this Carlos Correa looks like he's going to be a really good player. It hit 15,605, and I'm thinking, wow, it ended up going for over $20,000.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Now, that's with that authentication, so that's big. But now that we had him on as a guest and explained how everything works, this whole thing with A-Rod that's getting so much publicity now, we understand it now.
Yep.
We kind of do anyway. We think we know. We're pretty sure we know. But we found out. Now, what he said is normally if a ball goes into the stands, they cannot authenticate it. So if somebody hits a home run into the bleachers in Wrigley Field and it's not a historic event coming up, MLB will not authenticate that ball because there's too many switcheroos going on out there.
However.
But.
Yes.
when somebody like A-Rod's coming up for his 3,000th hit, they had a thing, I forget, they dabbed him or whatever, where they had numbering system where they knew when he was up, they were only going to use these balls in this order. So they knew when they found that baseball, that was the baseball they were using. They could check it over. So they found the guy. I think the guy's name, what was it? I saw him on Twitter, Zach Hample or something like that. I guess he's a collector, and he didn't want to sell the ball, or he didn't want to just give it to A-Rod. And a lot of guys are really ripping on him about it. I'm good with that. A-Rod's making $200 million over the course of a contract. I don't care if A-Rod has to pay this guy $100,000 for the ball, whatever.
Yep. Yep.
But I think now that all the publicity that this has done, don't you think, Bill, that this might actually go for more in an auction than it wouldn't have if there was? I don't know if you've heard anything about this, but there's been a lot of controversy about it. What do you think that ball might go for in an auction, Bill?
I don't know. They had him interviewed on the ESPN and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He said he just wanted to leave the stadium with the ball, and then he's going to figure out what he wants to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. And now he has definitely gotten himself quite a bit more publicity about it. And it's one of those things where it's like the guy who bought, remember when McGuire hit the home run record, that home run ball, and I think it went for $3 million or something like that in an auction. But the guy who won it had a business, okay?
That was Todd McFarlane.
McFarlane. And listen, we're still talking about this. He said he compared what he bid on that to what he would have spent on a Super Bowl commercial, for instance. And look at the play he's gotten on advertising for that. So to me, for a businessman with a lot of money that wants to promote something, to make a buy like that, all the publicity they got, all the interviews, why did you do this?
Yep.
You could get way more than you would on just doing that one Super Bowl ad. So to me, it was kind of smart. Now this ball's gotten all this publicity. Some rich businessman to me, a couple of them might be willing to spend a lot of money on it and then tell everybody why afterwards. But I have no problem with a guy, you know, not just handing it over. If you, especially if you're a younger guy or somebody that, you know, is in some financial problems, take the ball, auction it. If A-Rod wants to bid on it and get it back, go ahead. If he doesn't give you a really good offer for the ball, I mean, that's capitalism at its best.
Yep.
I have no problem with
it.
I
wonder if he could have just.
If I was the guy, though, I would definitely say he needs to auction this thing off at some time in the next, 30 days, 45 days.
Quickly.
He does not want to hold this thing for 2 years or anything. He'll lose a lot of his luck.
And, Zach, if you're listening, I think the August Huggins and Scott auction would be a perfect spot for it, don't you think, Bill? We'd be talking about it here.
Would be very timely, absolutely. Tell them to call us.
Yeah, Huggins and Scott, phone number 301-608-0355. Vince, I'm sure, would come into T-Crown, Zach, if you're going to stop by T-Crown with that, and we'll send it out to him.
Absolutely.
For
Absolutely.
Yes.
An armored car if we had to.
In an armored car, that's right. That's right. And we'll be in that armored car with them.
That's right. That's right. Now, could he have left it with MLB right at the game and saying, okay, here, it's authenticated, it's my ball clearly, sign some paperwork, and then tell them, here it is, sell it for me.
Well,
I'd be a little worried leaving the park with that ball.
Well,
you know,
yeah, as far as the security, right? I think he could have, he could have left it with the team, but the team can, if you leave it with the team, they can do whatever they want. They can offer it to A-Rod or they can auction on their site.
Right.
I think a lot of the money goes to charity. Now, that if I had it, that's what I would do. Don't get me wrong. I would say, okay, I'm going to give 50% of what I get. Personally, I'd pick a charity like Special Olympics.
Sure.
I'd give 50% to Special Olympics, but I'd want to profit off that some too.
Sure.
Why not?
Sure.
I mean, you're lucky enough
Absolutely.
To get it. It'd be cool. It'd be fun to see what it goes for and the whole thing. We've got Andy from Glenview's on the line. What do you have there, Andy?
I've got a 1955 Mickey Mantle Bowman card, ungraded, but very good condition.
Really? A 55 Bowman, so that's the one that looks like the TV set, right?
That's correct.
And it looks like in really nice shape?
Very good shape.
Okay, Bill Huggins, what's the strategy if he sends that to Huggins and Scott? Or would you want to look at it first?
Yeah, you'd want to evaluate it, Andy, as far as, I mean, if it's something that'll grade a 7 or better, it's worth getting graded, because then you're talking... You're getting close to $1,000 or more on that. Once you get into that grade and you get an 8 or a better, you're talking several thousand or more. But if it's going to grade like a 5 or less or something like that, you're probably better off selling it raw, and you're going to be in the couple of $100 range. It's just a matter of what does it look like technically.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
So if you want to send, email me a picture or tweet a couple pictures to @TCrownTom, and we can look at it, and we'll even say on the air, well, it looks like from the pictures this would have a chance for a 7 or an 8. Then, to me, you send it into Huggins, let them get it graded for you and auction it and see what happens. If it looks like it's got creases or it's real soft corners way off center, you know, then you can bring it into T-Crown and trade it for 100 or 200 whatever and trade value, and I put it up on the board or whatever, and... Yeah, people still buy that stuff, but it just doesn't go. The condition is so important on that stuff.
Sounds good. Appreciate
All right.
It.
Thanks for the call. Now, Willie on Twitter tweeted me a picture @TCrownTom. He has Michael Jordan Spalding signed basketballs that I think he got at Jordan Camp. Now, it looks like... Now here, Bill, this is a good one. That it looks like he has these Upper Deck holograms on these balls. So that means you know the signatures are good. You wouldn't even have to get that authenticated if he sent one or two of the or all three of those basketballs into a Huggins and Scott auction. As long as you were able to contact Upper Deck with this number and they would say it's a Michael Jordan signed basketball, correct?
Yeah, well, hopefully he would have the corresponding paperwork that goes with it, which is, there again, as good as it gets as far as authentication goes.
Yeah, now I can see on the balls that he does have the holograms. I found this out. A guy dropped off a Derrick Rose basketball that was signed maybe 5 years ago. Still had the hologram on it, but he didn't have the paper certificate from Upper Deck. So, actually, you can go, I think it's if it's within roughly the last 10 years, you can go to an Upper Deck website, punch in that number, and it'll say what that was and when it was signed, and it's authentic. So
yeah, hopefully it doesn't say a Gaylord Perry autograph.
Yeah, yeah, right. Then you got a problem. But if it says what you have, then you're good. And it has a picture of it. But if it was before, another guy brought in an item that had, it was a Michael Jordan Wings poster that was originally Upper Deck authenticated. It had the hologram on it, but it didn't have the paperwork with it. It was too old to where you could punch it in on the website, but you could still call Upper Deck on that item and they said what it was. So I called first, and I still picked it up because I knew it was authentic.
Right, right.
So it's better to have the certificate, but if you don't, as long as it has that hologram, at least you still know it's real, and that's still really good. Now, for you and Huggins and Scott, Bill, do you have to have more than the hologram? Do you need a certificate? Or, like, if somebody sent a ball in with just the hologram without the certificate, would you have to have, like, JSA authenticate that also? How would you work that?
No, we as long as you can punch it into their database and it does hologram the number on it corresponds to what it is you're looking at, we go with that.
I
don't know if that turns off some of the bidders that they don't have the paperwork with it, but they still know it is that item.
Yes, that's right. And to me, that's better than a lot of things because they were there while it was signed, so I'm good with that. Here's another Twitter item. This is kind of a sad story tied in with this. Steve on Twitter sent a picture of a Stan Mikita signed game stick. So this apparently is a game used stick, and it looks like it came from the famous Gunzo's in Berwyn. I don't think they're in Berwyn anymore, but Gunzo's, I think, is still around. But if you don't know the story about Stan Mikita, apparently he's, I don't know if it's Alzheimer's, but he doesn't know where he is or what's going on. I was just reading, his wife was talking about it, and he was such a great guy. That's a sad story.
Yep.
You know, and at that time, like, it's just too bad.
Yep.
A great guy like that, a great player like that. Stan Mikita's a Hall of Famer, was a great center. Now, game use sticks of Mikita, Bill, is there a time frame? Does it get way better early in his career if it was a Stanley Cup that when they won the Cup in 61 or whatever? Or how much difference in value is that?
Well, if you could date it or relate it to certainly one of their Stanley Cup years or to one of the early years in his career, that would certainly always have more value than one of the later sticks in his career when they kind of went through a different phase as far as the type of sticks they used. So, yeah, the earlier the better, and anything that can be tied to a championship season is certainly far better.
Now, as far as a game-used bat compared to a game-used stick from a similar star in the 60s, what are there more of them available, one or the other? Are there more sticks or more bats out there?
Oh, I've seen way more bats.
Yeah, it seems like it.
So it's just now, I don't know if that's because, I mean, for lack of a better way to say it, the baseball memorabilia business far dwarfs the hockey memorabilia business just based on fan base, I think. And so if the prices are generated like they are for the bats, it'll scare out these items. You start putting up big numbers, people will go in their attics and find these things.
Yeah. All right, well, it's time for another short break here. I think you're probably looking probably over a grand on a Mikita, especially if it's from the 60s game you stick, don't you think, Bill?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Unless there's issues with it, it could be several thousand.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a great item and a great collectible, and I think the future's bright. I actually wanted to we've got time for a short break here, but I wanted to talk about how the NHL's coming up. I don't know if we'll have time to do it on the show, but I think the future's bright for the NHL, so collectibles like that I think are well worth hanging on to. Time for a short break. We'll be right back. Hang in there.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're taking your questions or comments about your valuable collectibles. Give us a call, 312-332-3776. If you want to talk about something that you have, we'll try to give you an estimate of what we think it might go for in a current auction. And you'll get in the drawing. We're giving away a box of 2015 Bowman football to one caller or tweeter. If you tweet me a picture at T Crown Tom of an item and we use it on the show, you also get in the drawing. Bowman football has four autographs per box. Mariota, Jameis Winston, Melvin Gordon, Kevin White, all those guys are in it. And they're selling for some good bucks, some of those cards. I would think like that Jameis Winston would be at least $150, $200 or so, that you pulled yesterday, Vince, out of Bowman. It's a cool product. Yep. They also have a lot of low-numbered stuff in there, like one-of-one parallels numbered to 5, to 10, to 25. So it's a fun box to open. Now, yesterday at T-Crown, we had...
What a great day it was yesterday at Triple Crown.
It was fun
amazing, amazing day.
Well, we had... and a family came in that hadn't been there, Bill, in probably at least 15 years. One of them said it was the mom with the son and now with his baby with him and his wife. But one of them said, this is like a time warp, you know, nothing. And I was telling Vince, I don't like to move things around. You know, if I don't want my customers thinking they got to look, they got to work at all when they're finding something. If I go to a place that I'm used to buying things like Kleenex and paper towels and mouthwash, I don't want to go in. I'm going to that same place. I want to whip in there. I want to bang, bang, bang and get out of there. I don't want them changing it around. I mean, have me walk through the whole store. So the items for sale in T-Crown change, but not a lot else has changed. But anyway, their baby yesterday, I can make a short story long, can
sure.
I?
Sure. No, but it's a fun long story.
Okay. Well, anyway, their baby, I had this Mike Trout. I bought two of them that people have been kind of making fun of that were sitting on this thing. It's like a cloth Mike Trout doll. And this baby kept pointing at it and wanting it. So I'm like, okay, you got to have that. Vincent actually put a Mike Trout card like right in between the doll's arms too.
Right.
So then I said, do you guys mind if I take a picture of you and tweet it? Because
she kept reaching for the doll.
Yeah.
She's like 1 year old.
Right.
You know,
right. So I tweeted a picture and it's a great picture. I tweeted it to the attention of Mike Trout too, which you would think, I don't know if he saw it or not, but the baby looks so happy to have this thing.
Yep.
Didn't it? Was
yes.
like, really
yes.
wanted
eyes
that.
Lit up and was blowing at kisses, and in your endless generosity, you gave her the Mike Trout doll.
I was just happy to find somebody that liked it, some human being
there you
that
go.
Liked it.
It was meant to be hers.
And they were actually going to buy it, but I had already said I wasn't going to give it to them. But isn't it something that gentleman in that picture used to come in when he was a little kid, and they said something about... Well, you know, somebody said, "Oh, I bet that makes you feel old." It's like I'm long past that stage. No, it doesn't matter at this point. Bob from Oak Lawn's on the line. What do you have there, Bob? Hey, Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, what's up? What do you have?
Hey, I found myself as a friend and an advertiser in Chicago for a long time. I came into possession because they were tearing down the old Sun-Times buildings and such that they were throwing everything away.
You worked for the Sun-Times, Bob, or you were...
No, I was an advertiser for a long time.
Okay, I see.
And I got to know a lot of friends over 20-some years. So the long and short of it is they wound up throwing a lot of things away, and they threw away six and a half, actually, three-ring binders with every negative they ever shot through the Chicago Sun-Times sports coverage of the Bulls championships.
Ooh, now that's
there's
cool.
Pictures, there's pictures no one's ever seen, but they used to run a red grease pencil over the ones that they would put in the paper, and then there were just tons of other pictures from, you know, Jordan having a moment with Rodman or, you know, Pippen around the bench or game shots or what have you. It's just unbelievable amount of coverage from one of the best teams, if not the best teams, basketball's ever seen. I'm just curious, how do you go about getting an idea on something like that?
Well, Bill, you've run items like that before. Go ahead and let them know.
Yeah, I tell you, Bob, the thing you need to do is take some of the negatives to a developer and get some prints made so that you can kind of see what these pictures look like. And if you can come up with some really neat photos, like you said, I'm sure there's a boatload of them in there that were never used or never published, that they just picked a different one and used. Those could have some significant value, especially, I mean, gosh, you're talking about pictures of like you said, one of the greatest dynasties in basketball history.
Think if you had like an original photo of Jordan when he did was shrugged his shoulders when he was making the threes against Portland, or making one of his great shots, or even just something that was going on the bench that nobody knew about, but you see it from the picture. So yeah, really go through that stuff. You might have some. It's going to be a great historical documentation of that time. It's from all six championships, you think?
Absolutely. Everyone is labeled year after year. It goes from training camp to the party in Grant Park.
Oh, that is awesome. I mean, you got to keep that all together for one thing, right, Bill?
It is.
Yeah, and then just the for history buffs, you know, it's not that long ago yet. But think if you had something like that from the 27 Yankees or something. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that's awesome. Now, Bill, could you even put a price estimate on that right now, or would you think you have to hang on to it? What's your recommendation on that?
Well, Bob, how many photos do you think are in there? How many negatives? Thousands?
Oh, there's, at least thousands.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It would be something to maximize if you're decided you want to sell it and turn it into money. It's going to take some thought and some hours in putting into it to go through these pictures and come up with, like you said, the ones that were never seen. Those are going to be, and also then you're talking about the ones that were made famous, certain ones. Those are also going to be a highly sought after thing. But if you can get some of those ones developed and you decide you'd like to market some of them, call me. I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Wonderful. I appreciate that.
And
so
that,
would I just email your place and mention this call?
Yes, you can certainly do that. Bill at HugginsandScott.com. Just email me, and I'd be happy to get back with you.
Or the number at Huggins and Scott is 301-608-0355.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's neat.
I love the show. This is a lot of fun. Had a chance to see some other great sports things during that visit with when they were tearing the building down, but this one really kind of jumped out at me.
So did you get other stuff also?
There were different sports items from the Bears and the Cubs and the Sox and, you know, and such, but it was amazing the amount of history that was being thrown away.
That's too bad. Now, was there anything like vintage photos from, like, for instance, the first All-Star game was at Comiskey Park? I mean, did you see anything like that type stuff? Or
again, it was an unbelievable amount of things.
And they were throwing it out?
Throwing it away. There were giant books that you would open up that they used to save things before computers in these books that had historical moments from our country that were being tossed.
Leather-bound
books.
I wonder who made the decision, let's throw this stuff out. What are you thinking? That's like whoever, when they had the video of all the old Cubs and White Sox games from WGN, a lot of that stuff got thrown out. Who says, let's just throw this out? Come on.
Obviously not a Chicago guy.
No. Oh, my God.
They were a Canadian company that bought the Times at that period. And they took me to a Bears game, and they asked me which one was the Bears.
Oh, geez.
So that was kind of sad. But thank you so much for your advice. I will follow up with you, and I love the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Okay. Well, that was interesting.
What a great, great story.
Think about that. I'm glad at least somebody salvaged some of it.
Yep.
Oh, all that stuff from the Bulls championships, the history of all that stuff. That's incredible.
I know it's easy to say after, but boy, is that short-sighted, you know? Wow.
That even at the time, why would you throw it out? I mean, come on, you don't think anybody who had any appreciation for history would never even think of throwing it out. They could have called T-Crown.
That's right.
We'd have figured something out, you know, for sure. It started a whole new business.
Right.
That reminds me of the George Brace photos.
Yep.
Where, Bill, I'm sure you're familiar with George Brace. This was a photographer in Chicago, who starting in the 1930s, I think it was, went to all the Cubs games, White Sox games, and some other sports, but mainly Cubs and Sox Park, and took pictures of everybody. Every new player that came into town, he tried to get a picture of them. He loved Lou Gehrig. He had a ton of Lou Gehrig photos. I suppose the only negative on this was that he didn't have a lot of action photos. He'd have pictures of guys sitting in the dugout or standing posing and in hotel lobbies and stuff. But they had, I think, a couple million negatives is what they ended up with. I think George Brace passed away in sometime in the late 90s. That'd be something we'd have to check. But anyway, I don't know if the family still has that. At one point, they were thinking of selling that whole negative collection, though.
Well, a couple years ago, I spoke to his daughter for quite a long time on the phone, and she still had a lot of the negatives. So
oh, really? Even up to a couple years ago?
Yeah, she still had them.
Oh, well, that's neat. Now, that would be something. Now, Bill, I'm sure if they still have them and they wanted to sell those in a Huggins and Scott auction, I think somebody had offered them like around $1 million for that collection at one point. And I don't know if they turned it down or if it didn't go through, but that would be a nice Huggins and Scott auction, right, Bill? There would be I don't know how much shipping would be involved in that. It would have to be a ton, but.
We would contact ERC Delivery.
There you go.
Absolutely. Hey. We'd get it done, no doubt.
Yeah. I'd start to work for ERC and drive it myself for that. Now, here at T Crown Tom, Jonathan has sent an item. Oh, now this is a mini helmet signed by Troy Aikman and Emmett Smith. What do you think on the difference in value between it's a Cowboys mini helmet and a Cowboys full-size helmet in value, Bill? Mini helmet maybe, what do you think, a third to 25% of a full-size helmet value?
Yeah, I would say you're probably right in that third range. You know, the full-size helmets are certainly much more attractive.
Yeah, so I would think with Emmett and Aikman on a full-size helmet, probably $500 or $600, and it's more maybe $100 to $150, I would think, for the two of them on a mini helmet, which is still not bad. And it's obviously much cheaper to buy a mini helmet, easier to cart around if you're going, let's say you're going to go to the National and get guys to sign stuff. But the full-size helmets do sell for quite a bit more value. You know, when I was looking up the stats for Schwarber, that Vince, you were saying that I did see that they did authenticate, MLB authenticated his first game-worn jersey with the Cubs, but I don't think that's for sale. A lot of times what they'll do when they authenticate that, they just offer it to the guy. But that would go, boy, has he taken Chicago Cub fans by storm this week. We were talking about the importance of framing pitches and just handling a pitching staff for a catcher, where you used to always think hitting and throwing for a catcher and not having pass balls, there's more to it, and he has to learn the defense. But, boy, if that guy could be just a good defensive catcher and learn how to frame pitches with the way it looks like he can hit, what a talent, what a star he's going to be. And he's still only 22 years old.
Future looking bright on the north side.
Their team is definitely fun to watch. I was saying to somebody, even if you're a Sox fan, compare it to like when you're growing up, you really like the Beatles. It doesn't mean you can't listen to the Rolling Stones, too. You know what I mean?
That's a good analogy, Tom. I like that.
There we go. All right, time to do the drawing, Vince.
Andy from Glenview is this week's winner. Andy, if you're listening, email me, vince@arcdelivery.com. I'll get back to you, set up delivery at your convenience, free of charge.
Free of charge. Yes. That's always a nice ring to people's ears.
That's right.
Bill Huggins, don't forget to contact Huggins and Scott Auctions if you want to get an item in their August auction. Bill will be at the National Sport Collector Convention with a lot of these items on display. Call Bill at 301-608-0355. Or if you're in the Chicago area and you want to stop by T-Crown with an item, if nothing else, I love tweeting the pictures of them and seeing them and drooling over them. All right, so happy Father's Day, everyone. Have a great day. Have a great week. We'll be back next Sunday. Thanks for listening.